Well, I literally just spoke to Pastor Mary Pat outside, all the way from Mozambique. Incredible that we can actually have a clear conversation on a telephone from Mozambique. If you have ever been there, you know it's a little bit crazy on the communications, but something rather sobering. Pastor Jose, who many of us know and love, just gave a prophetic word at a conference, well, a meeting, I should say, that they're having there, that he felt that there was going to be an imminent attack on the United States. And so they prayed against it there. Heidi and Pastor Jose prayed out against that there. Pastor Mary Pat felt in her spirit that it would be against several cities. And so we want to pray and join that prayer across the ocean, two continents connecting together, because obviously that's not what this country needs and all the confusion that's going on already. So Father, we just say, God, we agree in heart here, all of us, Lord, interceding before you right now, just not my voice, but all the voices here, God's praying out to you, and saying, God, you're the one in charge of history. It's his story, Lord. It's your story. So, God, we trust you with the history of the United States. We know we started, God, under your heart because we could not have been a nation without you. All of your providence acted out, God, with the founding fathers, with all the ones back there that fought for independence, God. We know you established this nation, Lord. We know that in many ways our nation has left their calling. God, we call them back so they would be anointed against attacks, that we call this attack null and void. We tear down the works of the enemy. We say no, and we say yes and amen to you, Lord. God, that this nation would be a beacon of light to the other nations of the earth. We send out so many missionaries, Lord God, but we want more to stay when we send them out, God, not come back after such a short term because it's not easy, Lord. We pray that they would be better prepared in heart to go. They would be more intimate with you. We cannot go in our own strength. In the short-term missions here, God, we cannot go in our own strength. We thank you for protecting all the teams over the years with a bubble of protection. Now that bubble of protection needs to be extended to our nation even more than we've prayed before, God. In this moment, we pray a bubble of protection, your hedge of protection around this nation, all 50 states and territories, God. We need your protection. We cry out for your protection, God. We cry out with repentant hearts to you, God, for where we have strayed from what you have wanted in all times and all ways, God. We pray out for our nation, repent for our nation, God, that they've left your heart in many ways. And God, we call them back as prodigal sons coming back to the Father's love. We're not mad at anyone. You're not mad at anyone, but God, you want them to come back. You want to redeem. You want to restore. You want to bring relationship. Jesus, that's part of these threats. If we would stand up for the things of God and your agenda and build your kingdom, it would have the threats fleeing like the enemy flees when we resist him. We resist this attack in Jesus' name. God, we believe that one voice coming before you like Daniel can turn an entire nation upside down, can turn kingdoms upside down, can release the captives. God, we pray your protection against this attack. And we say yes and amen to that, because you are the mighty God. Jesus, you are the one that can hold this nation up, Lord. And Father, give us just a little longer to see revival so the nation repents before you, Lord. Just a little longer. It's our move. You're ready to release it. It's our move to receive it, Lord. It's our move to receive it, God, to be prepared in heart to receive it, God. And that will thwart many attacks. Jesus, we thank you. We praise you, our warrior, our commander, our general. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, Lord. Well, continue praying. Obviously, rather serious. And Pastor Mary Pat's going to try and communicate that with Azusa now, so they're aware of that. And many things happening in Mozambique up where she is. She spent some time praying over Heidi personally. And Heidi and Roland prayed over her, and guess where she ended up? On the floor. I mean, it was simple. And then she got up and prayed more for Heidi and Roland. So talked a few minutes with Bill Johnson, and she said, you know, I met you many years ago. You probably don't remember me. I remember you. So, you know, there are connections in Pemba that she's hoping that we can partner with ministries closer and better. It's not about the personalities. It's about the fact that we need to partner with these ministries across the ocean and around the world, because that's what's needed. Unity, which John spoke out, was it last week or the week before, is what's needed in the body of Christ here locally in Canton, which he has a heart for, and across the nations. And Frontline has always wanted partnerships with other ministries. In whatever country we go to, we don't go as the Lone Rangers and just, you know, okay, we're the greatest thing on earth. We'll just come in and crash your world. You need this, and you need this, and you need this. We ask them what they need, and then we try to partner with their heart. They live there all year long. We come in for 2 or 3 weeks. We need to respect that and honor that in them. And it's built some long-term relationships in many nations. I love that. I couldn't do that. Jesus has done that. That's what I like. I like that when he builds it, when he does it, because then you can step back and go, keep going, God. Use us. Flow through us. We can't do it. Yes, Lord. Well, I personally want to thank the summer celebration people. I was here all 3 nights for just a short time, just to see what was going on, and I didn't have to fine-tune anything. Of course, I don't know that I should, but anyway, they were doing a terrific job with the children. The children were excited. I mean, very excited, like high. And then we gave them ice cream at the end. Oh, it's just awesome. I love it. And so, you know, nothing better than having a good summer for children. And this is a great way to spend it, learning more about Jesus, getting close to good examples, people that come in and are good examples for the children. If you take it for granted, a good example anymore shouldn't be taken for granted. They should be blessed and honored. And I bless you and I honor you for being good examples. And I still can't get the picture out of my mind about Lawrence's dress, but and his enthusiasm. I need to step it up, I can see, after I saw his enthusiasm. So it was awesome. Don't forget, we have a couple of giving opportunities on the docket. We mentioned on Tuesday and sent out a constant contact. I always want to say constant comment. We want to be in contact. We don't just want to comment. The opportunities in Ghana for the gate, we have $600 towards that already. Nice. And it's an $800 project. How about that? That was Tuesday night and following days. And We also have a project in the north. I remember the prophetic significance. Gate, gate, gate. Okay, I'll leave you with that. And then we have in the north of Ghana, we have mangoes. That's how they say it. Mangoes. 6 acres with 100 seedlings each of mangoes on our 22 acres of land given to us by a Muslim chief. You've heard it many times. Fruit. Okay, prophetic. Fruit. And we also have a couple hundred dollars towards that already. So that's a $1,500 project. So if the Lord lays it on your heart, give. Hilariously. Laugh about it as you go to that little box back there on the wall. Just laugh. And give towards these projects in Africa. It just blesses the people so much you can't imagine it. When we put in the well on the land, and some of you sowed into that, I was there. I wish you all were there to see the joy and the dancing and so on when a well is put in Africa. Oh, my. And how they do it, oh, it's a wonder the truck didn't tip over and, you know, all these things, but it's just amazing. They use Indian equipment. So where'd they get that, you know? Came over on some ship. So those are the two projects that we kind of have currently, and then if, you know, Leslie and Joe would just close their ears for a minute, that's good, that's good. We also have their project that they're doing in their home, so that it makes it easier for their family to get to the proper places, the needed places. So how's that coming? Absolutely. Well, it's our joy, and jump in on the joy. We still need some funds for that project. Pastor Samuel sent me a WhatsApp. We hear from all over the world, you know, during the week. And so Pastor Samuel sent me a WhatsApp. And he starts out with, "Thieves jumped over our gate, came in, broke the door on our house." Some of you have been there, and you know it's a pretty high gate, but people can get over it. "Broke into the house," which has a, you know, a gate in front of it even. "Broke in and gathered up their passports, laptop, iPad, clothing, I don't know what else. And they arrived home to find it all in a corner. Thieves gone, stuff in a corner. All there." Have you been praying for Pastor Samuel? Mama Vera, because I think some big boys showed up. What do you think? That was just fun to tell you. I mean, all the, oh, oh, the groans, oh, oh, and then, ah, oh. Just love the range of emotions in here. You're free. You're free. just don't forget, with all of Carly's announcements, there's not going to be anybody here next week. Oh, yeah. On Sunday, okay? There's not going to be anybody here this next week on Sunday. We're going to Azusa, of course, so don't forget that. Pastor Mary Pat will be back on Tuesday. I'm happy. Are you happy? Okay. She has been ripping it up after the team left even. So it was a great time with the team. She just keeps telling me what a great team it was, what a great team it was. I said, okay, you know, the connection might go off here. I get it. They're a good team. And then she tells me all the happenings up in Pemba, which I went through earlier. I do want to emphasize this one thing with all the Azusa and a lot of the events coming up. We've had a partnership with People's Baptist in April, I think it was. Pastor Arrington came here and brought some people and ministered to us. We're going to do that again. It's a crazy, crazy schedule, you know, the next 2 weeks. But I'm asking that you would step up and consider some things. On Thursday, as Carly mentioned, they're going to have an outreach into Skyland Terrace. And it sounds like a nice name, you know, Skyland Terrace. Yeah, what was the name before? Wait a minute, not there yet. What's the name? What the other name it had? Highland Park. Okay, it used to be Highland Park, now it's Skyland Terrace. You know, and it's even the one of the meetings I was at yesterday, Jamie and I did some worship at an outreach down on Mahoning Road, and they had like 500 people flow through there for, you know, picnic and so on, with a church that outreaches to the neighborhood down in that area, and just awesome. We did some worship down there and with some other people, and just a great time. They did baptisms outside in a tank. People just said, oh, I want to be baptized, and they just jumped in with their clothes, you know, once the pastor allowed that, I guess. And others were dressed in the, you know, white robes and so on, right outside, right in front of their neighbors. It was really a cool thing. I think Jamie and I feel we learned a lot going down there and connecting with the people there, and so we'll be doing some more things with them. It's kind of an outreach center, and so they have a very small kind of storefront church, and according to their report, they had 120 packed in there last week. So really cool to connect with them. But we have this connection with People's Baptist, and on the 27th, as Carly mentioned, we'll be going out to help them pass out flyers for their picnic on Sunday, which we've gone to the last 3 years, I think, or 2 years. And it's a time to go and actually meet the people that might come to the picnic, because at the picnic they're eating hot dogs and, you know, doing the games, and they got all the stuff out there, and, oh yeah, okay, I'd like to talk to you, well, about Jesus, you know, it's kind of hard. And so we do have a prayer tent. Those that want to come in to the prayer tent, we'll try to arrange that as well. But on that Thursday, you actually get to go out, go through the buildings in Skyland Terrace, and pass out flyers individually at doors. And believe it or not, this church is a little hesitant to do that. And so we're actually being the encouragers. You know, I'm sure some of them have done that before, but they don't do it necessarily as a team. They do offer job training opportunities and that type of thing, as far as I am aware. And so we've done that the last 2 or 3 years, passing these out door to door, meeting the people, and guess what? People have needs. They don't just take the flyer. They want prayer. They want ministry. So it's not a passing out outreach. Oh, I don't need to do that. I've got this thing to do and that thing to do and that thing to do, and gosh, there's all these events happening. It's a ministry event. Ministry to people that are truly, truly, truly hurting. And some of them have been in church but aren't in church anymore, or they can't get to church because of physical problems. And here we show up, smiling faces, joy on our faces, passing out a flyer. Hey, hope you can come to the picnic right over here at the church. Right there, you can see it. And they go, oh, There it is. Some of them, they say, what church? The church over there. What church? Right there. So, you know, it's an awesome opportunity. So I just want to encourage you on that. We'll put a sign-up sheet out there somewhere in the foyer and sign up for that. Or the time is to be announced, so we'll make sure you get the time through Constant Contact or some other way through announcements. And then on the 30th, in the afternoon, which is that Sunday, they have their picnic. And so you're welcome to come out for that. I don't think Ashley and Denny will be around, but, you know, slackers. So the rest of us will have to step up, because Ashley and Denny aren't going to be there. And so we'll jump in and partner with People's Baptist. It's really cool, because we go in, we say, here we are, we're your servants. And they go, we'll do this and do that. And we go, okay, we'll do that and do this and do that. It's really a great partnership. And I already have one other pastor that has said to me, I want to come to that. I want to come to that. So maybe he'll come with his new wife. Maybe some of you are guessing already. Okay. I see your minds. I see your minds moving. So, sorry about all those announcements, but kind of important. Yes, ma'am.
A while back, you told me I was going to grab the mic because I had testimony.
All right. Love it. You just grabbed that mic. If it takes the whole time and I go down in the spirit, so
oh,
be it.
Oh, wow. Cool. I'm glad I'm not limited. As you all know, that I have been, over a year and a half, been dealing with a heart situation called AFib. And didn't bother me that I had it, but I was extremely tired. And on May the 9th, they put me back into the hospital, not as an inpatient, but outpatient, to give me my third try of shocking my heart into rhythm. And the doctor had really hoped that this would be okay, that it would take it. And then I've had 5 EKGs since then, and I saw the doctors about a week ago, and every one of them came out okay.
Woo! Yes! That's what I'm talking about.
They told me that I no longer have congestive heart failure. They
yes. Come on.
They told me that the enlarged heart, that it will, as my this heart is beating right, that it will begin to go back into its normal size. So I've been having energy that I haven't known for a very long time. Very long. And I feel alive. I feel alive. What I want to share with you is some of the things that goes on emotionally with a person who is under the stress of a medical problem. One of the things that happened was, during this time, I also had a situation where they had to do a breast surgery on me. And when I saw Pastor's daughter, Chrissy, and I said, maybe it's cancer, and if it is, that'll give a great testimony for when I go to do the ministry that is unbelievable. And she's no cancer. I said, but it would be good. No cancer. So I come home, and I pondered on that, and I thought, you know, they don't want to hear about me. They need the gospel, for the gospel is the power of salvation, and also that they need their own testimony of healing, miracles, creative miracles, release from the bondage of the power of darkness and of sin. That's what they need. They don't need me to have cancer and be healed of it.
Yes.
No cancer. Also during this time, as they were doing, this is going to sound really strange, but from the time I was very young, I began to be plagued with rejection and self-pity. I was only 4 years old, and I would be looking in a mirror and feeling so sorry for myself that tears would come down my face. And so over the years, as that continued, it took until I was in my 50s to understand what it was about and that it was demonic. And so it took a while for me to come into that position spiritually for myself that I could recognize no. And so I've been delivered of that rejection and self-pity. A remnant of it wants to come back, you know. And while I was recovering and they were talking about, you know, the heart getting healed and all, and there was a part of me, and I'm sorry to say this, but we as people can have thoughts we don't expect, but we just, you know, the enemy, as you were teaching us, is very tricky. And what I was thinking is I didn't want my heart to be okay because I wanted attention. And it wasn't just that I wanted attention from my home church, but my own children, because there's a great separation and has been for a long time. And so I was feeling that in myself and having a place where I really didn't even want to really be healed. And then I said no, because it's about the kingdom of God. That is what matters. And the other things where my children are concerned, they are in the hands of God, and I rest in that. But I said no, I need to be fully and completely healed. I had no idea it would give me the energy that I have. Clarity of mind, it is just, oh man, you just can't believe. You just can't believe what it's like. It's awesome. So, yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
He is surely worth the glory. He is surely worth the glory for our healings, yes, but eternal life. Eternal life. Wow.
Wow, what a message. Wow. Tender heart touches a heart, you know? Kind of hard to get going again. That was awesome. But I will. Okay, maybe brace yourself. Listen to your spirit today. Not your mind. Let your spirit rule over your mind. Let your thoughts be captured as the treasure walks by. Wow. Guard in the front, guard in the back. Told you it was treasure. Do they all fit back there? Okay. Gonna find out. So brace yourself, listen with your spirit, because it's the kind of message that offense could just start to rise and grow. Your mind, if you listen to your mind during this message, you could have some real pain. So I'm trying to help you get ready for what the Lord wants to release. It's kind of strong medicine, and I don't think I've ever spoken specifically on this topic before. I'd rather speak about the Father's love today, receive some of it, you know. Maybe that's what it's going to be about. You're going to receive a lot of it after the message. I'd rather speak on covenant, that we could be closer together in unity and covenant, closer with God in covenant. But I decided to bring out the big stick today, so I'll tell you about that in a moment. So like I said, brace yourself. When you hear the word Pharisee, what are one or two words that come to mind? You have to shout them out. I can't hear you. Double-minded. Oh, I didn't have that one down. Just a second. Self-righteous, okay? Religious. Proud. Hypocrite. Big-headed. Judgmental. What was that?
Brood of vipers.
Hit the nail on the head.
Lack of intimacy.
Blind.
Hollow.
Is that what it was? Okay, so, and many more. Are any of those positive? No. Did some of the Pharisees end up positive?
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Even he can break through a Pharisaical spirit. He can break through. Jesus can. Are there Pharisees around today? Yes. Are any of them in this church? Hope not. That brings it home, you know, to our own hearts. And we have to come before God, don't we? We have to say, am I more of a Pharisee than I think I am? Do I just laugh at the New Testament with the Pharisees? You brood of vipers. Yeah, get them, Jesus. Or do I think every character in the Bible has something to do with me? Has something to do with my heart. God is trying to speak through the ones in the Bible about me. About me. So I don't have to go, you know, pointing fingers. I just look at me. There's enough in there. Now, as a leader, you have to care for everyone else. You have to care what's going on in their hearts. So you see that you have to take care of you in many cases. If you become a leader, you have to kind of think about some others. It's no wonder it's such a challenge to be a leader, because you're constantly looking at yourself going, I fall short. I fall short. I fall short. In my case, I am short. And you know, you could get discouraged very easily, and leaders are leading the ministry like crazy because they can't take all that they're thinking about themselves falling short, even though they're trying to go after Jesus' heart, and all the others that they want to go up in Jesus as well. They get discouraged. I'm not discouraged. Only by the power of Jesus, I am not discouraged. I'm encouraged this morning more than at any point in my life. I tell you the truth. I'm encouraged at this moment more than any time in my young life. So what's the chief thing that the Pharisees modeled?
What do you think out of all that list that you gave me? What's the chief thing? What did Jesus say over and over and over again? What? Hypocrite. Hypocrites and hypocrite. So what is hypocrisy? It's best described by its descriptive synonyms, at least my synonyms. What was the one you said? Double-minded. Forgot about that one. I got to put that one down. You want to come up here and do the rest of the message? Come on, we did worship together. You can do this. Your husband did. What's that? Oh, she did in Mozambique, but not here. Okay. We'll put an end to that. Double-minded. We'll start with that one. I like it. I don't like it, but two-faced. Play-acting. In fact, part of the root of the words in Hebrew and Greek and so on had to do with play actors. They just play and act like they're righteous, self-righteous. You know, they act like they're okay. They act like, oh yeah, I've been healed. You know, Marita talked about very humbling things. Healing of the heart. She wasn't play acting. She was telling the truth. I had this need, only Jesus could heal it, and now he's healed it in me. Some of us won't admit the need. That's the play acting. Oh, I don't need healing. Oh, there's a class called Freedom Class? Ah, I already took that. I'm good. You know, you can take that class every minute and, you know, benefit something from it, in a sense, by the Spirit, as he uses that class. We could take it 10 times, okay? Just because you take a class, it's about what happens in the heart. Betraying. Half-hearted, impure mixture, trite and picky. My favorite, whiners, not winners. They go by appearance. Appearance rules figuratively, and sometimes, actually, it happens literally. They worry more about their appearance. Remember the Pharisees? They had special robes. Everyone knew they were a Pharisee. They had little boxes of verses they'd put on top of their head. They'd tie them somewhere to show people, I know the law. I know the law. I know the law. In case you didn't see it on top of my head. And they could really see it on my head. Reputation rules. They care more about their reputation and people-pleasing than they care about God, what he says. And Jesus, of course, pointed all these things out in them. They're confident in personal righteousness, self-righteous. I do it. You don't. You should do it like me. Look at my robe. Look at my phylactery. That could be a song. What are the qualities of a hypocrite? Complain. You ever meet someone that all they can do is complain? She shared very openly, Maria shared very openly about being in the position where if you say, you know, that you're, oh, then people pay attention to you. You know, there was a blind woman in Ghana, didn't want healing because she was making money off of her healing by begging. Or making money off of her blindness by begging. Blindness. blindness, taking a few coins and told Pastor Mary Pat, no, I don't want you to pray for me. I wouldn't be able to get my money to live on. Blindness? It can get that deep. The deception. Pastor Mary Pat prayed for her anyway, and she could see. And a whole crowd developed, and we preached the gospel, and I was called out of the internet. I was in the internet. There's a crowd of 10. Okay, well, you guys can handle it. There's a crowd of 20. You guys can handle it. There's a crowd of 50. Okay, I better get there. From one healing that a woman didn't want. Too bad. Awesome. Come on. Awesome. And overcome our pride. And even for something like that, oh, man, for a few coins. Oh, someone else did that. Oh, we'll get to him later. Let me say this at the, I said at the top, but this is actually a lot into it now. There's one major disease that I've been preaching about for a couple of years, in case you missed it, and it's offense. It's very related to hypocrisy, isn't it? Offense is related to hypocrisy. You can only be healed by these two diseases by Dr. Jesus. You cannot doctor yourself or self-medicate or be cured of these two diseases of the heart. It takes deep quadruple heart surgery by the master surgeon. He often uses assistants and nurses to participate in the process of surgery. Are you willing to share your stuff with those that could help you in the body of Christ? Or are you going to keep it to yourself? Try to get through it yourself. Because it's God's plan often to use other believers to help us. And that's why we have people pray for people here a lot and pray over people. And whether we know their needs or not, whether they share their needs or not, we need that. Every one of us needs that. Hypocrisy is the disease. Hypocrite is the carrier of the disease. It's a communicable disease just like offense. Both are communicable. You can be offended, and you can cause division in the body of Christ. You can be a hypocrite, and you can cause division in the body of Christ. Because you can't keep it to yourself. Yeah, it's spoken out, isn't it? And if we speak it out and we've made a mess, we need to clean it up. We need to clean it up. Things are spoken out all the time. That tongue, remember, untamed, flaps around in there, does things like it wants to do. It's a thing on fire. And we've got to put the fire out many times because, you know, gossip, slander, all the various things that could go down the list. A carrier can be effective in giving it to another person through the air. It's a communicable disease through the air, mostly hot air. Emotional words spoken off the untamed tongue. But also, it can be communicated through DRA. Does anyone know what DRA is? Very serious. Dirty, rotten attitude. Dirty, rotten attitude. I know you've never had that, but I have. It's a terrible thing. When we express it, we don't even, you know, usually use words, but sometimes it's facial expressions, isn't it? Roll of the eyes, something you didn't want to hear, Something you think is like, oh, I've heard that before, I don't need to hear it again. All those kinds of rules of the eye. So I don't think the eye is on fire, but the tongue is, but it still rolls around. The wink of the eye, like, you know, you see your neighbor and you go, yeah, right. Yeah, right. When something strong from the Lord is spoken to you, yeah, right. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. It could be one of those things on the internet, what do they call those? Memes or memes. I never got the pronunciation down for that, but. Someone once said, probably many people said, we're all hypocrites being healed. And we go, okay, good. Oh, all right. I'm off the hook now. Because we're all hypocrites being healed. We're all Pharisees being healed. What's the problem? Jesus is doing the healing, right? But if we put off being healed because we're so busy, I'll get to that. I know I'll spend some time with the Lord about that issue in my life, about that, you know, attitude I have, thing I've said, gossip I've given. It'll be okay. I'm busy. Busy. I'm busy. One thing I try not to tell people, I'm busy. Because everybody else says it. Why should I say it? If both of us are busy, we can't have any kind of relationship whatsoever. So people will come to me, I know you're busy. No, I'm not. Well, I know you are. No, no. My business is people. I haven't said that in a while, so I mixed it up. My business is people. You're people, aren't you? Yes. Okay. Then don't say I'm busy when I'm telling you I'm not. We might have to make, you know, a match in plans, but that doesn't mean I'm busy. And the other thing I try not to say is I'm tired, because everybody says they're tired. Come on, we're talking stuff here, right? Everybody says they're tired. Why should I say I'm tired? So even when I'm tired, I'm exhausted. I try not to say I'm tired. I try not to say it to Pastor Mary Pat at home either, and let my hair down, you know, and say to her, I'm tired. That's why I got rid of this hair. Don't have to let it down. Be the same at home as I am here. That's what I'm shooting for. We must intentionally seek the heart of God. It's not just going to come by osmosis that we're healed of these things. Some may think, coming into front line, oh, well, I'm healed of hypocrisy, and I'm healed of bitterness, and I'm healed of offense. This ain't the place. It can be a conduit to it. It can be a pipe to get there. It can be the subway to get there. But it's not by osmosis. We need to come intentionally before the Spirit of God and say, here I am. Once again, Lord, maybe a little delayed, maybe too late, but I'm not too late because you can redeem the time. Okay, so come before him. I mean, really come before him. We say it all the time here. Are we used to it? Are we just too used to it? Come before his presence and say, I see it. You're pointing it out to me. I've been running from it. I have been a hypocrite. And guess what? His grace comes in. His mercy doesn't bring fire down from heaven. He rushes in with more grace. Some of you want to take the next step in ministry. You know what the next step is? Go low. Be the servant of all. That's your next step. It's not to, you know, be recognized, because that's the Pharisees. Oh, I can minister. I hope they see me. I can speak from a mic. Hope they see me. I can preach. I can do worship. I hope they see me. No one saw me. And yet I'm here. When I was in a ministry being trained, they put other people ahead of me. And I said, good for them. God worked on my heart, got rid of DRA, that terrible, terrible disease. He helped me. He rescued me from taking offense. Once a position was offered to me to take the entire half of the campus, and the leader of the ministry would take the other half. I could do my own deal on that campus. At that time, 18 to 21,000 students. I'm putting you in charge. He came back within 2 weeks and said, we're not going to do that. So he talked to someone above him, and they said, that guy? I knew how it worked in that system. He checked with the guy above him. That guy? He's the son of a garbage man. You know, he probably didn't say that, but you know. They didn't see any potential. But many of the guys that I was trained with aren't doing what I'm doing today. How did that happen? Because I'm so humble. I'm the one that went low. I had to fight. I had to intentionally go before God. Rescue me. I have a rotten attitude about this. Rescue me. I have offense with this. Rescue me. I'm being at this moment a hypocrite. I had to take the instruction of the man that would not promote me. And who helped me with that? I can tell you the truth. I know Jesus had to help me with that. Every step of it. But I was intentional. I knew there was no way to get around it. I had good teaching from my leaders. They told me there's no shortcuts. You have to go to God. They taught me about humility when sometimes they didn't show it themselves. So what? I would be a Pharisee picking out things in them. And I didn't want to be a Pharisee. And only God could help me not become one, not become a hypocrite, not become offended because I wasn't promoted or I didn't get this position or that position. I realized, position? Are you kidding me? I'm following Jesus. Wherever I end up is the best place to be. There'll be some highs, some lows in position and ministry. Those change all the time. But the privileges I've had since that season are incredible because of what God did with the surgery in my heart and continues to do. I didn't just have one surgery. It happens all the time. It happens daily. You know, I die daily. That's what that's about. It's about these kinds of things. It's not just a Bible verse. It's about these kinds of battles. You're in a battle. I'm reminding you today. Battle for the holiness, the righteousness, rather than halfway. Half-hearted. I'll show the people what I want to show them, but I'll do back here what I want to do. And sometimes it may not be like going out and partying and addictions and all that. It might just be you're doing your own little thing back here. You're not involving God in it as much as you pretend to. It's a huge problem. In the body of Christ, of course. And we want surgery here. surgery of the hearts. That's what I want for you. I don't know if there's a sextuple surgery, whatever that is, but we need as many of those surgeries as we can get. 7 times, 20 times, 1,000 times for God to come in, help us out. Not help us out, empower us. So we need to intentionally seek the heart of God on this, bow before Him on our knees. If not literal knees, absolutely in the heart. Because then the Father's love can fully flow over us and show us what is in our heart that hurts our heart. It hurts it. Offense hurts us as much as hurting others and being divisive. Hypocrisy does the same thing. Hurts us as well as the others. What do you think the enemy wants? All those things. Because it hurts everybody. No one gets off. No one ends up winning at all. Maybe we can show the quote. The abundantly worst hypocrite is the believer who betrays the love of Jesus alive within him. You know, hypocrisy betrays the love of Jesus that he's placed inside of us. We're betrayers of Jesus when we are hypocrites, act like hypocrites. When we stay offended, when we can forgive. He gives us the plan. Forgive. I hear the fan, so that means everyone's quiet. If you don't believe there is some offense or hypocrisy in your heart, then you should really be desperate to approach the throne of God and go low, because deception may have set in. Part of your heart is dying because it can't respond to any stimuli by the Holy Spirit if you're in deception. Oh, I don't have offense. Do you know how many offended people have told me they don't have offense? You can't believe it. Oh, I don't have offense against you and Pastor Mary Pat. I don't have offense against Frontline. I don't. Really, I don't. I don't have it. Really, I don't have it. Fruits in the actions. You know, we can read the fruit. It's in the actions. But eyeball to eyeball, what's going on there? Something's wrong. They're not connected with the stimuli of the Spirit of God. Because there'd be something they'd be offended at, even a little thing. Something. I can't say I don't have a offense against all of you individually, and then I have to overcome it and ask for forgiveness. So how can they do that? Maybe they should be up here. So I pray God rescues them. I'm not mad. I'm not upset. I'm just like, wow. All of us have to face offense and hypocrisy. Of course. So to make a statement, I am not offended at all, rather than saying, you know, I'll check that out with Holy Spirit and I'll get back to you. Matthew 7. Yes, we are going to get into the Bible. Matthew 7. I know. I could hear it brewing. Please speak up more. You're a funny guy. Matthew 7, 1 through 5. Familiar passage. Maybe you'll know why I have the piece of wood up here. Judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck? The speck, this is a magnifying glass. I'm looking at the speck. Why do you look at the speck, except I can't find my place again, in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Speck, plank, speck, plank. I mean, is there any comparison? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove this speck that's in your eye and look, a plank is in your own eye? Question mark. Hypocrite! First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Now, note one thing. It's okay to see something in someone's life. Something you would want for them to step up in or change. Leaders have to do this all the time. If you've not had a conversation with me or Pastor Mary Pat where something's been pointed out that could be better in your life, we're not doing our job. Leaders are supposed to point out things that are hindering you from a higher level, and that's where a lot of offense comes in. Well, I didn't like the way they said that. Was it true? Yes, but I didn't like the way they said that. Was it from God? Yes, but I didn't like the way they said that. They didn't smile, or they didn't, you know, give me a wink, or they didn't pray for me afterwards. Plank. 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 You know, leaders are called to turn you into disciples. Do you know how hard that is? It takes everything in a leader to do that. Everything. Because they don't have it. They have to go to God. He has to give them the wisdom, what to say, what not to say, how much to say. Not to give a whole laundry list all at one time, but give only certain things at certain times. You have to spend time asking God. And I used to try to do that on my own. A list of Bible verses, a couple of sage comments, some experiences from my past. You should be okay. Found out that didn't work. I did prison ministry, and we'd release a guy from the Bible study. Wow, he was doing so well, man. Woo! He was soaring. He had Bible verses. He made me a cross out of cigarette packages. It was great. He was on his way. Released out to the population, said, call me when you get out. Call me. Did he call me? No, he didn't call me. I'd given him my best stuff in Bible study. I expected great things. He was saying the name of Jesus off his lips every other sentence in Bible study. He was released, called his friends instead. With a quarter I gave him. Went out with his friends. He was intending only to drink a Pepsi. You know where the friends went. to the local bar, and he was just going to have a Pepsi. Started out good, ordered the Pepsi, but then something happened. Old habits rushed in, no one to support. Where was Jesus then? Far from his thoughts. Had a few. Had a pipe. I don't know why. Hit a guy in the head. He was back within a week in Bible study. I mean, at the very next Bible study. Only went once or twice a week, so he was at the very next Bible study. My star student. And I didn't know what was going on until I met Pastor Mary Pat. They needed a baptism of the Holy Spirit, not just to hear about the Holy Spirit. They needed some inner healing. They needed beyond just becoming a Christian. They had no strength. They had no power. I met her and I saw power in action. It's changed my life. It's changed ministry that I do. Meeting one person, well, I married her, but, you know. Oh, yeah, she'll be home Tuesday. Okay. So, are we looking for specks without looking at the plank in our own eye? Because it's okay if you're in certain positions or you're a good friend, because a good friend wounds another good friend. I've heard some give testimony in here, man, there's someone in this fellowship, every time they speak into me, even though I don't like it, it's life. It helps me. And I listen to them. That's a good friend. You don't just say the good stuff like Facebook. Like. But you are willing to wound for their good and be as open for it on the way back to be wounded for your good. Pastors need to be open to be wounded for our good. And there are some of you in here that wound me by your life in a good way. You challenge me by the way you live for Jesus. That's a good thing. Some of you challenge me with words. I don't like that as much, but I'll take it. I'll take it. And I have gone before the Lord on a number of occasions because of things that were brought up, especially by leaders. Matthew 23. We're going to go through this. I'm going to release you. And then I'm going to do something we haven't done in a long, long time. I'm going to continue the message on Tuesday night for Fire and Wind. So we'll see what happens with that. And if it doesn't happen, I guess you're going to listen to the message online, right? But I would prefer to see your face. It's very encouraging, if at all possible. I know it's not in every case. Matthew 23, here you go. We'll call it Rip Snorton. Message from Jesus. Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do." See, he was not entirely upset with the Pharisees. There were some things that they had taught the nation until his revelation came. It was just a big problem that they didn't receive him as the Messiah and as the ultimate revelation of God. But do not do according to their works. See, works we can see real easily, right? We can't read the heart, but we can see the works that are the result of the heart, the fruit of the heart. And Jesus saw their fruit, and he didn't want any of the people to pick it. For they say and do not, what they say and do not do. For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, and they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the best places at the feasts, the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But you do not be called Rabbi. For one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. And do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, the Christ. And you need this in context, because we don't, say, well, no one can say, oh, Cynthia's a teacher. That's not what it means. It means to puff them up. See, the people like puffing up the Pharisees, because then they would, tip their hand of favor towards them if they were puffed up. They might have called them father or rabbi, teacher, so the Pharisees would give them favor. That's what you don't want to do. So, don't call me pastor, because it'll puff me up. Call me PB. PB. Then I don't get puffed up, because I forgot what those mean. The best is to call me PB&J, Pastor Bill and Jesus. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. He who is greatest among you be your servant. Oh, that's me. That's you. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled. Don't we know it? And he humbles himself, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you devour widows' houses, and for pretense make long prayers, therefore you will receive greater condemnation. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much of the son of hell as yourselves. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, whoever swears by the temple, it is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obliged to perform it. Fools and blind. For which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, if it is nothing, but whoever swears by the gift that is on it, he is obliged to perform it. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gift of the altar that the altar that sanctifies the gift? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and by all things on it. He who swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits on it. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Remember, these are spiritual leaders, the people in charge, the Sanhedrin of the nation. Think of the groaning in Jesus' heart as he says these things to the very leaders that are supposed to be welcoming him as the Messiah. Think of it. The plan of God can't go forward unless he calls them out and takes over by his resurrection and ascension. If they're in charge, the nation will again be in captivity. They're already under the thumb of the Romans, but the Romans could come in and just take over everything, like the Babylonians took them into captivity. This is a moment where he declares, you're off. Get on God's plan. I'm here. I'm part of God's plan in a person, the person of Jesus Christ. And I have authority to say these things to you. And you need to receive it. You can imagine the groaning in his heart. Because offense is really against Jesus. Hypocrisy is really against Jesus. Oh, it hurts us. It hurts each of us. Those that have it, those that receive it. It divides. There can be no unity with it. But the ultimate thing is, it hurts the heart of Jesus. We can forgive. But they're going against him. They need to be rescued. Anyone that participates in this to the max makes it a lifestyle. Maybe we can get to the point where it's just a momentary lapse. Each of us. And we come before God. As we did in worship today. You know, and some of you may have been humbled by the worship. I was. And say, God, we really need you. Please forgive us for the way we are. Forgive me for that moment of offense, that trying to show myself to people as better than what I really am. And he'll do it. Let's make sure it's momentary lapses. No one's saying be perfect. But, you know, we have to be intentional. And certainly not develop a lifestyle of hypocrisy, a lifestyle of offense. Blind Pharisee first cleansed the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, within which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead man's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous and say, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Therefore, you are witnesses against yourselves that you are the sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up, then, the measure of your father's guilt. Serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? Therefore, indeed, I send you prophets, wise men, and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify, and some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of the righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Bechariah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Assuredly, I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, The one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate, for I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now think of that. He comes as Messiah, then he says he's going to leave them. Others listening to this are like, okay, you just ripped the Pharisees really well. Now you're going to leave? They're going to be mad. They were mad enough to crucify him, lead the charge. About 6,000 Pharisees, they estimate, in Israel at that time. Powerful 6,000. The number 6 in the Bible is the number of man. And so, multiplied man things, multiplied doing it religiously, not from the heart. So he's speaking to this group. We can read it. Our mind says, oh yeah, Pharisees. Okay, got it. Okay, he had some things against Pharisees. He's talking to our hearts as well in this day to make sure that we come before him and say, what am I like inside, God? Do I need healed up of this? Do it in me. Search my heart. Know me, O God. See if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way of everlasting. I need to come before you. I need to let you do surgery in me, Lord. Thank you that you're faithful to do it with grace. You don't say, woe to me. You say, son, daughter, you're welcome in my presence. The blood of Jesus covers every sin that you've ever committed or ever will commit because you've taken me as your covering. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. But to have the full Father's love and the full freedom and the ability to minister in freedom, we need these things healed up. And so when we come before the Father, he graciously heals us up, points it out, lets us repent. Turns us around, gives us the power to turn around, and then sets us on a whole new path. And we start hating the very things that we participated in. Hate it. We hate it. We want our tongue guarded. We want our lives holy. We want to live on a higher level that only he can take us to. And we rejoice in it, that he's the only one that can do it. You know 2 Timothy 3:5 about form of godliness, but not the power thereof. We're not seeking power, we're seeking a person that gives the power. But when he gives it graciously to heal us up of these things. You know, in history, which we'll talk about tomorrow a little bit more, Bible history, this one's from American history. In history, Benedict Arnold is probably our most famous traitor and gave a message on part of that one time. Showed you the letter that he wrote or something. Famous traitor from the Revolutionary War. They called them back then turncoats because, of course, they went from the uniform of the Revolutionary Army to the British Army, quite a transformation, because many of the Revolutionary Army didn't have any appropriate uniforms. Others had some blue uniforms. They kind of found out that as they picked off the British as they were in formation out of the woods, maybe it's best not to have a uniform. Bright colors, you know, attract bullets. Anyway, they were called turncoats. He attempted to turn over West Point to the British. He was in charge of West Point, the fort at West Point. Now think if that was British soldiers we were turning out of there now. And double-crossed George Washington, who rescued his military career and used his favor to obtain Arnold's appointment to be commander of the strategic fort. The one that gave him favor, he was going to double-cross. The very one that rescued Benedict Arnold's military career, because he had a few problems here and there along the way, and George Washington decided to use his favor for this man. And what's he do? Makes a plan to turn over West Point, and I believe, hopefully trap Washington there as the British were coming. The British were coming. Instead, by God's intervention, I believe, that plan was unmasked. Benedict Arnold was on the run, had to jump on a ship, and he ended up going to England. God can unmask us if there's any kind of thing in us that needs to be healed up. I volunteer for that unmasking. I hope you do too. We need to volunteer. We need to step forward. God, show me. And I'm telling you, your life will come into alignment with heaven. Your life will be much more joyful because you're not participating in these negative things that the enemy just loves. He just loves it. If you have something to point out in me, come. It could be for my benefit. Or it might be something I could actually explain what my real heart was. Gives me an opportunity. The same for each of you with one another. Let's be a little more real, but real with grace. You know, people, I'll tell you what's wrong with you. I've been on this earth for 64 years. I'll tell you what's wrong with you. Everybody says, I say what's on my mind. Don't. Run it through the grid of the Holy Spirit, through your spirit, through, you know, your spirit cooperating with his spirit first, before you are going to speak something to someone else of correction or this just bothered me, whatever. And let's get to the point where we can be real with love. You know, that quote we put up, you know, about the abundantly worst hypocrite is the believer who betrays the love of Jesus alive within him. His love is alive within us through Holy Spirit. We need to release that to each person, to everyone in here and every stranger we meet, every person. And when we're dissed, so what? So what? We've got eternal life. As Marita said, we have a relationship with Jesus. When hurts come, forgive. We have Jesus. You've got the treasure already. It's like having the treasure and worrying about little diddly small stuff that comes against us. People betray you. George Washington won a war after he was betrayed. Led them in battle again. Didn't give up. When the British thought they would take West Point, oops, he saw the hand of God. It's in his writings. See the hand of God. Let's see the hand of God in each of our lives. And he'll take you to places you can't believe, because when you're aligned with heaven, ha! Like Paul, I mean, he was aligned with heaven. So Tuesday, be there or be square, or if you're somewhere else, very valuable in the kingdom, I bless you. Father, we thank you, God, you're so good to us. This is a time of reflection, repentance, coming before you. And repentance is a positive word because we get turned around. Every one of us needs it continually. Let us not be backlogged with the things that need repenting, because then they're forgotten. Our minds can't handle all the backlog. Our spirits want us to be up to the minute with you, Jesus, on offense, on bitterness, God, on unforgiveness, on hypocrisy, God. Let us look into the Bible and see the characters of the Bible as us and say, oh, God, I need you. I need your presence. I need closeness with you. Please forgive me. Turn this around in my life by your power, by your strength. Thank you, Jesus. I give you praise. Yes, Lord, do that in us, in all of us. And Lord, on to the battle. On to the battle, Lord. We do it joyously because we're following you, our commander. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for your kind attention. Appreciate it very much. Be blessed today. If you need prayer, we're always here. I stay around, sometimes the last one to leave, which is my joy.